Welcome to the January 14th, 2007 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today we commission our new deacons. Today's sermon is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Get Real. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning and welcome to College Park Baptist Church. On what I would say was a beautiful January day, but I don't really know what month it is. It's been so nice lately, and we warm weather aficionados are certainly loving this, but the cold weather folks and the people that love the snow, I guess maybe February will be your month. Hope everyone's doing well. It's wonderful to see you this morning, see all these smiling faces in this warm fellowship and our time before worship. In the few minutes before we transition into worship, I want to share with you a few notes, a few ministry highlights and announcements. I'm pinch hitting for Jeff today because Jeff is with the youth. Actually, the juniors and seniors of the youth group are having a junior-senior leadership retreat in Gatlinburg. They left yesterday and will return tomorrow. So we've heard they got there safely, and that retreat is going well, and something they do every year that helps foster leadership among the youth group and among some of those that are the older folks in the youth group who have a chance to lead now and who are in the process of transitioning to this next stage of their life for college. So something great they do, and wanted to let you know where Jeff was this morning. A few program notes about tonight and this week in the life of our church. First of all, youth choir will meet at 5 instead of 4:30 this afternoon. I'm getting the nod of approval that I got that right. So youth choir and youth, if you're here and actually listening, take note of that and share it with your friends. And if not, youth parents, take that note. They've got an extra 30 minutes this afternoon. Tonight, several exciting things going on at College Park. First, at 6 o'clock, we are going to go into week two of our Sunday night adult discipleship as part of the 90 Days of Focus. The 90 Days of Focus, for anyone who may be visiting today or hasn't heard, is a program that our church is participating in. 90 Days of Focus, beginning with New Year's Day and going through Palm Sunday, reading through the Bible in 90 days, according to a list and a chart and a guideline that we have laid down, and a challenge from our pastor. I know that many are participating in this, and it's going well, and it's been very beneficial for many of us. As part of the 90 Days of Focus, our pastor's sermons during the 90 days are focused on scripture that is from that week's study. Some of our Wednesday night programs will be part of the 90 Days of Focus. But also we're doing adult discipleship every Sunday night at 6 o'clock here in the sanctuary. This is a discussion and video-based time, an interactive time where I'm actually the moderator, and we ask some questions. We want to see how the program's going for people, how your experience has been, and what are some of the things you're doing in your life to stay up with the schedule and to get some things from your study of the scripture. And we're also sharing in a video series that's very effective, talking about some of the substantive elements of the scripture that was part of that week's study. So if you have a chance, join us anytime. And if you didn't come last week, that's okay. This is not a study that if you weren't there in week one, then you're behind. This is a study that every week will stand alone according to the scripture that's relevant for that particular week. So we'd love to have you tonight at 6 o'clock in the sanctuary. At 7 o'clock in the sanctuary also, Smith Hall, Cindy Johnson is going to be having a concert. She and another performer that she performs with often are doing a concert series, 5 concerts over 2 weeks around the triad, and they're having a concert tonight at 7 o'clock in Smith Hall here at College Park, so I know many of you will want to be there. That will be the life service for tonight. The church office will be closed tomorrow. for the holiday. I want to let you know that. We will have our regular Wednesday night family night activities on Wednesday night. For those of you who have not joined us on Wednesday nights, we have programs going on for all ages. It begins with supper at 5:30, from 5:30 to 6:30, supper in Smith Hall. And if you haven't joined us for that, come. We'd love to share supper with you. And then we have a time of prayer and sharing for the adults and other programs for the youth and children. We're fortunate among us at College Park to have many people who serve in many ways outside of this church through missions and ministry. One of those people is very active in missions. Barbie Morgan will be sharing with us on Wednesday night. Barbie recently returned from a mission trip to Africa, and Barbie's going to be sharing with us on Wednesday night about her experience in Africa and some of the powerful things that happened here. So, Barbie, we're looking forward to hearing from you. On Thursday at 11:30 in Smith Hall, College Parkers, our senior adult fellowship group, will meet for lunch in a program at 11:30. For those of you who may not be familiar with College Parkers, this is our fellowship group among the senior adult ministry. It's open to anyone 55 and older, and if you have not come, we would love to have you. We're a group that enjoys fellowship. We enjoy good food. We enjoy trips and different things, and the monthly Thursday meetings are just one element of College Parkers and the way that we experience fellowship among each other. But if you've not been, we would love to have you join us. At this time, I'd like to say a special word of welcome to our visitors. As I mentioned, it's great to have you at College Park today. It's nice to see some new faces out here. And for whatever reason you came today, we're glad that you did. And we hope that you find this a warm and welcoming place. Our ushers are going to be heading back down the aisles now. If you're a visitor, if you would mind just slipping up your hand just high enough for them to see. They've got some information they would like to give you about College Park. And we would like for you to know even more about the things that are going on in fellowship and ministry and worship in the life of our church. Thank you for being here today. At this time, I ask you to stand and join me as we share in an invitation to share in worship, as printed in your order of worship. Let us read responsively. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak His praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are discouraged take heart.
Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt His name together.
Join our hearts together in prayer. Come, Almighty King, help us your name to sing, for you are a God of love. Come, incarnate Word, and make known your wonders to our souls, for you are a God of grace. Come, Holy Comforter, and bear witness within every heart that we belong to you, for you are a God who creates fellowship. Come, Triune God, that we might love, adore, and serve you all of our lives. God, we praise you for your presence in our lives and in our worship. We praise you for your faithful love, a love so great and so perfect that we are told that you are love. You define the word. Let our worship this morning be found acceptable in your sight. Help us even now to drop at your feet those things that might distract us from seeing and hearing you. Cleanse us from those sins which would hinder us from meeting you here today, those things which would blemish our worship this morning. And as we set apart for service those called from among us, let us be renewed in our own calling to serve you with our whole selves. Lord, let our worship be a fragrant offering to you this morning. In your name, amen.
Let us share together the ministry of God's Word. You will find in your hymnal a responsive reading number 707. A passage from the 12th chapter of Romans. Let us share together and read responsively. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship.
Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
For by the grace given to me, I bid everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think.
In one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function.
Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them.
If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, he who teaches in his teaching,
he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who contributes in liberality, he who gives aid with zeal, he who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness.
Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor.
Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord.
Rejoice in your hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer.
May God bless the reading and understanding of His holy word.
Peace. Will you pray with me? Loving God, our Father, we thank you for the blessings you bestow on us over and over, day after day. We don't deserve these blessings, but in your love you continue to shower us with them. Thank you for giving us when we fail to do the things that you ask us to do. Forgive our shortcomings and the sins of omission that we commit. Open our ears, Lord, to hear your voice when you call on us to do your work. May your word truly dwell within us. Open our minds and hearts, God, that we may be ready to do your will as you reveal it to us. And open our hands, Father, as we may be ready to receive guidance for serving you. Forgive us for failing to share your blessings with everyone that we meet. Help us to be better stewards of our worldly goods, and may we give back generously your part of all that we have. In the name of our Savior, your Son, Jesus.
Second Sunday of the new year is typically the time that we come together to set apart those who have been called into deacon ministry. And this morning I want to ask that Karen Leffler, who is our outgoing deacon chair, if she would come, followed by Charlie Jones, who will be serving as deacon chair for this year.
It is hard to believe that it was 3 years ago that six of us were sitting on this front row about to take the place where you incoming six are. Over the last 3 years, it has been my pleasure to serve with these six who are outgoing, and it has been all of our pleasure and our privilege to serve all of you. I'd like to recognize these who are rotating off service, if you would stand when I call your name. Ron Cobble, John Crabb, Gary Elkins, Wayne Lewis, and Sarah Talley. Thank you for your servants' hearts.
It is a wonderful day at College Park Baptist Church to recognize some of the folks that have been called by God to serve Him and serve us here at College Park. We have two members that will be installed today that have been previously ordained, and they are, if you would stand, Jay Edmonds and Kent Hobson. Thank you, guys.
We've asked those who are being ordained today to do the impossible. We asked them to somehow summarize their Christian journey that has brought them to this day and to do so before lunchtime. And so I believe if we were asked to do so, that would be very difficult. I know I've had that task before me to try to summarize what has brought me to this day. So if you would listen, hear what they have to say, and pray for them, not only as they speak and share their journey, but also as they look forward to the ordination into the deacon ministry a little bit later. I want to ask them to come in order that they're printed. Ladies first, Cecilia, if you would come, followed by James and Gary and Chris.
Well, I made it. I didn't fall up the steps. I did just about fall out of the car this morning. One church member suggested that since I enjoy cooking, that maybe I should just serve refreshments instead of my talk. Personally, I think that is a really good idea. And then someone else asked me, well, didn't Ron give you any suggestions about this talk? And I said, well, the only thing he said was keep it short. That really means don't tell any embarrassing stories. When I was about 20 years old, two of my friends and I had the opportunity to go to a Billy Graham crusade. It was in Dallas, Texas, and for me, this was a big adventure. For one, I had never been on an airplane, and I don't even know that I'd ever been that far out of the state. Maybe I'd been to South Carolina to go to the beach. During the day, we got to hear inspirational speakers, and I remember I was so excited. I got to hear Dale Evans. Now, I bet a lot of you don't even know who Dale Evans is, but I grew up with Dale Evans and Roy Rogers. So I was very inspired by her. Then at night, we would go out to the Cotton Bowl Stadium, and there we got to hear Billy Graham. The most effective sermon that he had that had touched my heart, well, honestly, I can't remember what he said. I know he spoke about Christ, but it wasn't his sermons that touched me. It was the things I saw in the people's faces. This Christ that we shared was alive to them. They talked about Christ and that Christ being with them every minute of the day. I knew I was a Christian, and they were Christians. But I knew something was missing from my life. I remember talking to one man, and he said, you know, in the sweetest way, he said, maybe Christ has always been in your head, but you need to put Christ in your heart. I was raised in a Christian home, and I attended church all my life. I went to GAs and Sunday school and training union, went to all the programs and activities. But now thinking back on it, I think maybe my Christian upbringing led me to be complacent. I took it for granted. I thought everybody went to church. Maybe it had just become a routine to me. God needed to be real to me, and my faith needed to become alive. I realized God wanted to have an everyday personal relationship with me. I realized that the God that spoke to Abraham and Moses and Paul and the disciples wants to be with me every day. So I returned from Dallas, and I asked my home church to baptize me again. So if you've ever heard of double dipping, I have been double dipped. My Christian journey continued, but now God seemed more alive. I felt like God was right beside me. I could talk to God at any time about anything. And I needed to talk to God when I got home because, you see, I had quit my job to go on this crusade. Now, don't get me wrong. I wasn't some wonderful Christian who would give up my job for Christ. I had been working for this company, and I had earned my vacation. And at 20-some years old, when they said, you can't take your vacation, well, I knew I had a roof over my head, and I didn't have any bills, so I quit. But when I got back, I knew I was going to need to find a job. So I interviewed for a position, and I knew that job was right for me. I was so excited about working on that college campus. It was the one in Raleigh. And I was so excited about it. And I got home, and that phone rang, and they didn't want me. I was crushed. I was devastated. I knew I was the right person for that job. But my dad told me, he said, you pray about it. My dad believes in the power of prayer. And I did. I gave that job to God. I said, God, if that's not the job for me, then you give it to somebody else. If that's the job for me, open it up. But you lead me to the right job. Well, by the next week, my phone rang again. The woman who had taken that job had quit, and they wanted to know if I would come to work. So I was very excited to get this second opportunity. But, you know, my dad reminded me that prayer played a crucial part in me getting that job. And maybe it wouldn't have been the right job, but God would still answer my prayer. Sometimes he'll say yes. Sometimes he'll say no. Sometimes he says wait. But my dad also reminded me, as we stood arm in arm at the back of a sanctuary, that prayer led me to that job. He also led me to the man that I was marrying within a few minutes. But I told him not to talk too much about it because I would cry. And Ronnie told me not to cry coming down the aisle. God answers prayers. He wants our prayers every day. And I learned he wants a personal day-to-day relationship with me. He didn't just want my head, he wanted my heart. God has blessed me for 29 and a half years with a loving Christian husband and two wonderful sons. God's been with us through the ups and downs, through the job losses, through the sickness, and through the blessings. A blessing was College Park Church. In God's love, you have guided us and our sons. You've taught us all in Sunday school and in youth trips. You've taken care of our sons. You fed them spiritually and physically. You have helped turn our boys into Christian men as they went to the mountains of Kentucky. They got dirty and sweaty and filthy and hot and tired. And they love it and they go back every year. That's the kind of love for others you've instilled in them. And we love you all for everything you've done with them and with us and for them and for us. My most recent steps on my Christian walk took me into the Koinonia class as their teacher. And as I work on the lesson each week, I realize I'm the one that's learning the most of all. Preparing that lesson helps me realize there is so much in the Bible to learn every day. I don't think we'll ever learn everything that's there. This group of young men and women has challenged me. They are so wonderful, and I love them all. If you're looking for a Sunday school class, this is my commercial. I offer food to my class on Sunday morning, so if you want a Sunday school class, you come join us. That's my commercial. Now, I want to ask for your prayers as I begin this Christian pathway of becoming a deacon. I want to serve you and God in a manner that will be pleasing to Him. From Ephesians 3:14, I have often reflected on this prayer. This is where Paul wrote to the Ephesians to give them encouragement. This was Paul's prayer for them. And although I don't usually alter the Bible, I altered the word you in this verse, these verses, and changed it to us. Will you pray with me? This comes from Ephesians 3:14. So I bow in prayer before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth gets its true name. I ask the Father, in His great glory, to give us the power to be strong inwardly through His Spirit. I pray that Christ will live in our hearts by faith, and that our lives will be strong in love and be built on love. And I pray that we and all God's holy people will have the power to understand the greatness of Christ's love, how wide, how long, how deep, and how high that love is. Christ's love is greater than anyone can ever know. But I pray that we will be able to know that love. Then we can be filled with the fullness of God. Amen.
Somehow I knew the church was going to look a lot bigger from up here than it does from the balcony. And it certainly does. Good morning. I'm very pleased and certainly very humbled as I contemplate service as a deacon here at College Park Baptist. This time of year has always been a very happy time at the Cobbler household. We celebrate four birthdays in a span of 18 days, starting on December 30th with Jamie and ending with Aaron on January 16th. The other reason I especially like this time of year is that ACC basketball begins in earnest. The rivalries are renewed. You can see them play conference teams other than those carpetbaggers they let in a couple of years ago. And when I think of ACC basketball, I think of all my favorite players that have been over the years, favorite teams. Having gone to UNCG, I felt like I had a license to pull for any ACC team at any given time, especially if they were playing Carolina. I think about my favorite players over the years, David Thompson, Mike Jaminski, Tim Duncan, James Worthy, and, of course, my all-time favorite player, Keith Almond. Now, I'd be more than a little surprised if any of you, maybe one or two of you, knew who Keith Almond was, certainly as a basketball player. Keith was a walk-on at NC State in the late 70s. I don't know that he ever figured into the box score of the games. I know he practiced hard, he played hard, he gave it everything he had, but he never really contributed to the team in terms of scoring or the final outcome of a game. But Keith had a heart for Christ. In 1980, he transferred to UNCG. And I met Keith through intramural basketball. As you might imagine, he ruled the court in intramurals. I was a mediocre player on a very bad team. I think he felt sorry for me. He refereed a lot of games. One evening, Keith came by and introduced himself to me and invited me to a Bible study. Now, I was reluctant to go. I didn't know Keith that well. But there was something so genuine about Keith, something so Christ-like in his manner, that I felt compelled to go. So that evening, I joined Keith for a Bible study, and I was surprised to find 6 or 8 of my closest friends there in the Bible study. Now, Keith's Bible studies were less like Sunday school and more like a revival meeting. Keith was very bold in his faith. One night, he challenged us in our faith. We were studying John chapter 3, where Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Nicodemus is eager to learn about how to enter the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus tells Nicodemus that he must be born again. Well, certainly I knew that I wasn't born again. I knew that I was a good person, or at least I thought I was. I'd grown up in a church with Christian parents. I even had a girlfriend I knew she was a Christian, and I was planning to marry her, so I thought maybe that got me a pass. Well, as you know, that's not the case. Keith and I talked for a long time that evening. That night I prayed as I never had before. And I asked Christ to enter my heart. And I knew at that moment that I was saved. Saved for eternity. If Keith were here today, I know he would invite you to read John chapter 3. It's on page 751 of your pew Bible. And I'm sure if you're at a crossroads in your life, it'll help you make a decision, the most important one you'll ever make. God has truly blessed our family here at College Park from the very day that Wes Morgan invited us to visit. It wasn't the first church that we visited. We had visited several in Winston. Nathan apparently knew where we were supposed to go. 2 or 3 churches that we had visited, he had absolutely left the nursery school volunteer in tears. At one church, they set him outside and left him in the hallway. We found him screaming his head off when we went back after worship. We visited here, and the first time we came, there was a young man named Kent Hobson who was in the nursery that day, or I guess it was the 3-year-old class. There was a young fellow by the name of Carson Smith that was in there riding his Tonka toys around and doing backflips and so forth. And he and Nathan hit it off, and, well, we knew we'd found the home that we needed. The staff and the congregation here at College Park have been our partners in our walk with Christ and our partners in bringing up our children to follow Christ. And for that, we thank you, but more importantly, we thank God.
I was raised in a Christian home by my mom and dad. They gave me the foundation which my Christian journey began on. My wife and soulmate, LaDonna, has taught me patience. Anybody who can put up with me for 27 years has a patience of Job. She gave me 2 children, Patrick, our firstborn, who taught me perseverance. He sets his goals high, and if he does not achieve his goals, he keeps on trying until he finds a way. Then there's Rebecca. She has taught me faith and courage. The night before her first surgery, Patrick asked if LaDonna and I were stressed. When I said yes, Rebecca said, "Why? It's my neck. If I'm not worried, you shouldn't be. Have a little faith." When we told her that it was cancer and she needed a second operation, she asked, "Is the cancer in the same place?" "Yes." "Is my surgery tomorrow?" "Yes." "Okay, Dad. I'll be fine." Our church family, who taught me hope. When LaDonna and I came out of the holding room from sending Rebecca off for her second surgery, there were 52 of you in the waiting room to give us a hug, a hand, and a lot of prayers. When the surgeon came out, he told us Rebecca was fine. And then he looked up and said, wow, what a support group. When we came home, we had hundreds of cards, flowers, meals, visits, and prayers. We could not have made it without you. Last, I want to thank our Lord and Savior who taught me that prayers are answered. When LaDonna called and told me that Rebecca had cancer and needed a second operation, I prayed, dear sweet merciful God in heaven, please don't let my little girl die. In the waiting room on that Saturday, there was another family whose 9-year-old had gone out paintballing with his friends. He didn't take his safety glasses, so naturally he got shot in the eye. They were afraid he would lose sight in his eye. His surgery ended before Rebecca's did, and as his parents were getting ready to leave, I went up and asked if he was okay. His mother smiled and said he was fine. And then she asked if our daughter was having thyroid cancer surgery. I said yes. She opened the collar of her blouse to show a long, thin, faded scar and said, I had thyroid cancer surgery 13 years ago. I have a family and a wonderful life. Your daughter will be fine. He does answer prayers.
Good morning. You tend to set your time on how long you're going to speak when you have a son that's 4 years old and can have a limited attention span. So I will. This won't be too long, but I think it'll have some meaning. I'm not quite sure who might be more nervous about this today, whether that's me or Melissa. See, this is the first time she's hearing this, and so hopefully she'll appreciate this. My father-in-law once said to us, keep Christ in the center of your life, and all things will follow. That statement truly resonates with me now, and I have a clearer understanding and appreciation of its meaning. My Christian journey started with my wonderful parents, who taught me all the essentials about being a good person, doing things right, and have made me what I am today. I was a member of a Methodist church throughout my youth, and I was active in that church. I went to youth group, youth fellowship, youth retreats, fundraisers. And during that time, I never really questioned whether or not Jesus was Lord or who was in control of the world. Basically, I just accepted it as fact. Well, when I went off to college, I attended church sparingly at best. A little bit less as the years went on, as probably a lot of college students do. You get involved with studies, trying to figure out who you are, what you're going to do. Well, after college, Melissa and I got married, and we spent many years church shopping, if you will, here in Winston. In fact, we spent a period of time here at College Park while Dr. Edwards was still the pastor. And throughout those years, I didn't always have my faith focus in the right place, and I seemed to fill that void with non-productive avenues, which seemed to get me sidetracked. However, when Bryson was born, we realized that we needed to find a church that we could settle on and raise him in a loving place. Ironically, after all the places we had been to and all the time we had spent, we ended up back here at College Park. It seems kind of funny how things can work out sometimes. After attending for about another year here and realizing that I needed to find more out of life as well as a new direction, I decided it was time to profess my faith and become a member of the church in August of 2004. And I want to say a special thank you to Melissa, Raymond, and Greg Huther, my boss, for their guidance and leadership on this. As I've reflected on these past 2.5 years, it has become clear to me that someone else is leading the way and driving the car, calling on me to serve more in order to strengthen my faith focus. Ordained. That was the other thing that was mentioned that we need to talk about. What does that mean to us? So I looked this up in a dictionary because I was trying to find out what this meant overall because, again, I grew up in a Methodist church, didn't quite understand what all the ins and outs were. But the definition, to invest as with the laying on of hands with ministerial or priestly functions. I read that and I'm thinking, okay, that didn't help me. I actually was a little more confused because I saw laying on of hands, and I didn't know, is that literal or is that just figurative? I was trying to find out a practical meaning of ordained and what that meant, when in actuality that's something you can't find in a book, and you can't find that in a dictionary. When I was approached about being nominated, I was extremely flattered and honored. And the way that I am, I just said, yeah, sure, I'll do it. No big deal. It's just another leadership opportunity. We'll be glad to. Perhaps because I do things sometimes without thinking about them first. You can ask Melissa that one. Maybe I was comfortable with this leadership opportunity at the time to serve God and this church. Or simply, could it be a reflection of the congregation's care, compassion, and confidence that they have shown in me? Of course, along with that, I also had feelings of being overwhelmed and humbled at this opportunity because of the importance that deacons play in the role of the church. In essence, I began to wonder if I was worthy to take on this responsibility. I believe that somehow deacons were better or without fault in some regard, or needed to have more experience in serving the church and God. But what I realized is that we are all a work in progress, and that this time that we have here is an opportunity to commit ourselves to leading faithful lives. I have seen how the fellow deacons handle themselves and how they lead our church, which I will use as my teaching tool. Ultimately, instead of questioning why this has happened to me, I've decided to embrace it and use it as a tool to teach, guide, and learn more about being a faithful servant. For me, the meaning of being ordained quite simply is to serve this congregation through Christ. I have a brief scripture reading that I think will summarize this. It's from Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 through 28. But among you it should be quite different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must become your slave. For even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others. In closing, I just want to say that I am so appreciative for the support and encouragement that my family and I have received since we've been here. It's been overwhelming. And I want to thank the congregation especially for affording me this opportunity. Thank you.
As I was listening to these candidates speak, I was struck by the notion of what a large number, 4 out of 6. And I wonder, we may have to go back to the early days of College Park to see 4 at one time ordained. I don't know. I just got that impression. But it's a wonderful indicator to me of those who are coming forward, a new generation coming forward and being willing to be servant leaders. And I'm very encouraged by that. I'd like to ask those who are to be ordained, if you would please stand. You've been elected by your church family to serve as a deacon. Today we come to formally ordain you to the office. Before we proceed, we would like to hear your intentions concerning the fulfillment of this responsibility. Do you believe in your heart that you are truly called according to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ to the ministry of a deacon? Will you fulfill the duties and responsibilities of the office of a deacon, some of which are to be a fellow servant of Christ with the pastor in the church, to set an example of moral uprightness and dedication to the will of God, to be a leader with a pastor in seeking to fulfill the mission of the church, and to seek to build harmony in the life and ministries of the church? Will you seek to be a person of faith and vision, always open to opportunities for witness and fresh ways of ministry and service as God may lead? If you would please remain standing. Those who are to be newly installed, if you would stand, please. You've been elected to serve as a deacon at College Park. You've declared your willingness to serve. I ask your assent to the following questions. Do you reaffirm your allegiance to Jesus Christ and His church? Do you accept the office of deacon in this church and promise faithfully to perform its duties? Do you promise to seek to be open to the Holy Spirit to be used for the fulfillment of God's purpose of His church, and to cooperate with the pastor and members in promoting harmony and effectiveness in all its ministries? Do you who are presently serving as active deacons affirm your allegiance to Jesus Christ and His church? Do you pledge to unite with these new members of the diaconate in faithful service, seeking always to let Christ be lifted up? If so, would you please join them in standing? Do you, the members of College Park Baptist Church, pledge yourself anew to the person of Christ and His church? Do you acknowledge and receive these new persons as deacons? Do you promise to encourage and to pray for them in their office and to cooperate with them in the fulfillment of the mission of the church? If you would do so, would you please join them in standing? As your brother in Christ and your pastor, I charge you, the candidates, and you, the other members of College Park, to remember the covenant that we've made together here today and to carry out these promises faithfully as God gives us wisdom and strength. Thank you. You may be seated. Chris mentioned the laying on of hands, and that's probably one of the questions I get most in the week following this service, and it's a good question. I wanted to let you know there's nothing weird or strange that goes on. As they come and as they kneel, those who have been ordained into the ministry or the ministry of deacon will come by and they'll say a word perhaps of encouragement, say a word perhaps of prayer. Whatever they say, it's of an encouraging nature. It actually has roots in the Old Testament. If you go back and see, the laying on of hands was used to confer a blessing. If you go and you remember Jacob as he laid his hands upon his son Joseph and blessed him, it was also a priestly function. The priests were ordained by laying on of hands. It was to show encouragement and support, prayerful support. It carried over into the New Testament in the early church. The laying on of hands was symbolic of the receiving of the Holy Spirit. The apostles also laid on hands as they commissioned a person to a particular service. You can go back in Acts chapter 6 and read about that application. We now use it in the Christian church and with all of this heritage, going all the way back in Judaism as well as the early Christian church, as a confirmation or setting aside of people for missionary or pastoral service through being a pastor, a minister, or also through the pastoral ministry of the office of deacon. So this morning we come to ordain these four who have expressed a willingness and have responded to your vote of confidence in them and their leadership. It is a position, again, of service. And I know that their hearts are attuned to serving you and serving their Lord. So we ask these candidates if they would come and take their place and kneel. And we want to invite those who are ordained or have a special word that you'd like to say to these candidates, if you would come in an orderly fashion from this side, proceed across, and then return to your seats. You may begin. Would you pray with me? Dear Father, we see before us four more that have responded to your bidding to be servant leaders, to serve you, and to serve the body of Christ. We pray that you would give them strength for this day and each day to come, that as they come to know you more completely, that as you reveal yourself to them, that they would be faithful to reflect that to others. Father, we pray that as a congregation, we would encourage and support them even as they lead us through service. That we would not hold a standard for them that's too high, but that we would always be willing to see them as those who are our fellow servants. They're not perfect. They're simply forgiven and called to a place of service leadership. Father, we love you. And Father, we seek to serve you. And we pray a special blessing on these who have made themselves available for this special position of service and leadership. We also pray a blessing on their family, that they will grow to know what that means as they support and encourage them. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I ask if you would stand, please. Can we turn back to your seats? When I became your pastor, my daily prayer became one of seeking wisdom. A better part of wisdom tells me that Exodus can wait until next week, maybe. So I want to invite you now, if you would take your hymnal, we're going to sing a hymn entitled Servant Song. I hope as you stand and as you sing with us, that your heart would be fully attuned to what God maybe wants you to do this week and in the days and weeks to come. As you seek to be servants, we've said a lot about deacon ministry being one of servant, and that's what it is. But we are all called to be servants of Christ. Amen. As you sing, if you would like to make a decision, a public decision or a private decision, either to follow Christ more completely, if you're a believer, or if you're not a believer, As James said, you've been reading John 3 and you realize that you're not a believer and you want to come and to make that public, we'd be glad to share with you how you can receive Christ as your Savior. Perhaps you'd like to join this fellowship of believers. We would love to have you. There are many ways we accept members and be glad to share that. Perhaps you'd like to come to the altar and just pray. Pray that God would have His way in the life of all believers. You're certainly welcome to do that and would love for you to do that. Whatever your decision is, would you join me in standing and singing hymn number 613, Servant Song. Remain standing. I want to ask those who have been ordained today, if you would join me standing here at the front. Cecilia, I'd like to present to you a new Bible as well as your certificate of ordination. James, new Bible, certificate of ordination. Gary, Bible, ordination certificate. And for Chris. Also want to ask you if you would, as a congregation, maybe you had a chance to speak to them when they were here for the laying on of hands. Perhaps you would like to have said a word to them. We're going to give you an opportunity to do that because at the conclusion of the service, we're going to ask them to remain here at the front. And if you'd like to, come by and speak to them. But whether you come and speak to them or not, I challenge you to remember the covenant we made together and always be in prayer for them and for each other. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the leadership of the Holy Spirit that has brought each of us to this day in our life. We pray that You would continue to challenge and lead us as we seek to commit ourselves more fully to You. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.